The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and today's Investor Spotlight features the Haltier Group. These brothers own, at this point, well over 300 units, somewhere around there, and over $20 million in value of their real estate portfolio. And so this is from episode 138. Well, they kind of outline some of the tenets and some of the gems surrounding group economics, the mindset, and how it works. But let's get into it. The Haltier Group, episode 138, the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. Let's go.
What was it that gave you all the courage to start investing and start this new company during a time where the world was just turbulent?
I think we just all recognized the opportunity, right? I think we're all professionals in our individual fields. And I think just understanding that a lot of people did a lot of great things in the time of bad things happening, right? More recently, you know, the kind of the 2008 collapse and things like that, right? So understanding that when things go bad like that, it's not an opportunity to just like run and tuck your tail, but it's actually an opportunity for you to make moves, right? Make changes. And if you can really think about it and come out of it on the other side saying that we did something positive, then that's where our mindset was, that this is an opportunity for growth. Like there's things out there, availability out there, for us to make these changes and also bring other people along with us, right? I think one of the biggest things is that we wanted to make sure that we educated and brought people along in the way and just gave them the knowledge that we had, right? So what better way to do it? Group economics, right? And that's kind of how we decided to move forward with that.
Definitely. And it's interesting because, you know, something I try to tell people too is like, when people are scarce, right now interest rates are sky high, right? Mm-hmm. But do you think, I mean, y'all are investors, of course, like I'm sure y'all are not backing down. Like y'all are still looking for opportunities, especially there's blood in the streets, right?
So harder.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's important for people to know that y'all did that then and you're doing it now. Like there's always going to be opportunity. You know, it's just a matter of if you can find it, if it fits what you're looking for. So I appreciate you mentioning that.
Yeah. I think sometimes the interest rate conversation is interesting, especially for, you know, younger investors like that, right? Because they've grown up in a time where interest rates have been close to zero, right? For a very, very long time. So now that the interest rates are creeping up, it seems like it's like, oh my God, the world is ending. But when I bought my first house, right, I got interest rate at like 6.75 and I thought it was the best thing ever, right? Back in like 2007, right? So it was right before the crash then. So I think it's all relative to what you've experienced. And if you understand the history of it, then you understand that this is still a really good time to be doing things, even though the interest rates have crept up in ways that, you know, may seem, you know, astronomical for some. Others are still like, no, there's opportunity here. Mm-hmm. And you just have to make sure you understand, you know, what's available.
Mm-hmm. Proper planning is, I think, is the biggest thing that we find success in. You know, yes, the interest rates are going up, whether it be on residential or in commercial lending, but we spend a lot of time scrubbing deals, Dennis especially, you know, going through all of the bits and pieces, where the cash flow is, how we can increase rents, how we can do et cetera, to offset the increase of rates. And I think because of the proper planning, we're continuously able to succeed.
Definitely. And that gets into the next thing I want to talk about. So, you know, a lot of people, 1 to 4 units is kind of straightforward. You know, you might get your FHA loan or NACRA or whatever program you use. And y'all are doing like big deals, syndications. And it's something that goes over a lot of people's heads. Like I know a lot of our listeners, it's something they're interested in, but it just feels like kind of out of reach. So can you break down just what a syndication is at a fundamental level?
Sure. A syndication at a fundamental level is a group of investors getting together, pooling their money together to buy a larger asset that they wouldn't have been able to buy alone, right? So it's the piece of in bringing that money together, investing that money in a larger asset, taking said asset, and then paying distributions to the investors at a certain amount, right? In the way in which ours is set up, there's general partners and limited partners, right? We're the general partners, our investors are limited partners, and quarterly, our limited partners get a distribution. At the end of the year, they get their K-1 statements. At the end of the term with the property, they'll either get the equity via refinance or sale, right? So that's how our syndication is set up. That's how, you know, kind of the easiest way to explain exactly what it is. It's an investment into a large asset through group economics.
Definitely. Can I chime in real quick? Just to piggyback on that. I think for us, large scale syndication is just a foreign word, but we see it all the time. The crypto.com or Staples Center is a syndication. Every large building that you drive by is a syndication. Every sports team is a syndication, mm-hmm. typically. So it's just putting it in a real world application on this level. And I think once people understand that, it expands their minds and it makes sense.
Definitely. And Dennis, I know you're looking at a lot of the deals. So, you know, again, 1 to 4 unit is kind of straightforward what you're looking at. You're looking at your mortgage expenses, rent, whatever. What are the factors you're considering when you're evaluating if one of these, you know, 80, 100 unit buildings is a good deal?
You know, the process of identifying asset 1 to 4 unit is no different than 50 to 100 units, right? It's just a larger building, but the financial mechanics are the same, right? We are looking at Class C type buildings, right? We're looking at blue collar type residents, right? We're looking at those tenant profile that is looking for a habitable place to live, a safe place to live, mm-hmm. Responsible landlords that are addressing their needs within a 24-hour window. We have targeted the southern states of the United States, rather mm-hmm. the southern region, because we're finding significant cash flow in that part of the country, right? We're looking for 7 cap deals, right? We're looking for double digit cash on cash returns. Mm-hmm. We're looking for assets where we have the ability to purchase at a 7 cap and increase the rents to where they go to an 8, 9, 10 cap, to where we're increasing the rents for the building, which enhances the value of the real estate asset, right? Mm-hmm. It's also important for investors to know you have your actual rent, which is where the building is when you buy it, and you want to increase those rents to get to market rent. So for example, if you buy the asset where it's $700 per month in rent, mm-hmm. but yet your neighbor around the corner is $800, well, that's the market rent. We want to slowly, creatively increase those rents to where it increases the value of the asset.
Love it. Just a couple of follow-ups. When you say like 7 cap, like, can you explain what that means?
It's a cap ratio. So essentially it's a financial metric to where if you as the investor bought a building cash, it would be a 7% return on your dollar.
Got it.
All right. I won't go too far into the mathematics for our guest today.
That makes sense. And then cash on cash return, like, can you explain what that is and what your target typically is?
Absolutely. So cash on cash return is the difference between the rents and your expenses.
Got it.
All right. The difference is your cash on cash return.
Perfect.
You know, you can find investments at 3% returns in the market, right? And it's going to speak to that. Or treasuries, right? We're looking for something that's paying our investors north of 6%.
Perfect. Perfect. And what is the criteria for investors?
Great question.
You know, let's say, you know, hey, Sam, Anthony, what's going on? I'm trying to get one of these deals. Like, what is that conversation like? Like, what do I need to be part of it?
Yeah. We started off strategically, essentially on a friends and family level, like most businesses. And by doing that, we decided to start at a $10,000 per share, if you will. So what we do is we look at the cost of acquisition and so forth to acquire the building. And then we break that up into shares at a dollar amount of $10,000 per share. Each individual can buy one share or, you know, 50 shares, 100 shares, et cetera. And then everything from there is paid out accordingly. So when we pay out distributions, you're paid based on how many shares you own according to the payout. When it's time to sell the building, the same thing, you would get your pro rata share of the equity, et cetera.
But, and I'm going to add on, yeah, I think our profile is anyone and everyone that wants to learn about real estate, right? We want to, you know, Ennis tapped on it earlier. It's about education. We want to educate those to enhance their individual profiles, to better their lives, right? To learn a different way on how to invest your dollars in real estate. You don't have to do it as an individual. You are stronger as a collective, right? So anyone and everyone who wants to know and learn more about real estate is someone who the Halterra Group is interested in talking to.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.